Everybody, welcome to the Black Perspective Podcast. It's your host, Talk Galore, and I'm finally sitting down with the group MCE. Thank you all for joining.
Yes, sir. What's good, brother? Glad to be here.
Already.
I've been wanting your type of group. I've been wanting you guys here for a minute now. Let's start with this first. For anybody who doesn't know what MCE is, or who you guys are, and what you guys stand for, would anybody like to describe who is MCE?
MCE is warriors, fathers, sons, uncles, grandfathers. We in the community. We do more than just music. You know what I'm saying? But artists and musicians at the same time. But we use what we do for the betterment of us and our people.
Okay, very well said. Okay, speaking of what you do more than music, I want to start with the arts. Now, when you say the arts, we're speaking painting and drawing and murals. So what type of...
Yes, sir.
So the paintings you guys do, I'm just taking a wild guess. So you know how I'm from New York City, and you walk through Brooklyn, and you'll see a mural of Biggie Smalls or some rappers and singers, things like that. So that's the kind of things you guys do when you pay tribute to
some of that. My brother-in-law, he more of a muralist than I am, but I'm more of doing portrait art. So I do, hip hop and music and different things like that. I do portrait art because to me is I can, I like to show what I think somebody looks like in my own way. That's my way of doing portrait art. But as far as like painting, all of us are talented in that case, as far as that goes. But I would like to start doing murals, man. Like really, I'd like to add that to the repertoire,
Okay, yeah, because we don't see too many of our African fathers and some of our bloodlines. Like, we don't really see murals of these people where we walk. We see murals of, I mean, we have our Black celebrities, but they're not where we came from. They don't show a depiction of, this is who we were, or this is who we, can still be. And I think we need a lot more African American, more murals painted around the world, not just the U.S., but around the world.
We got murals out here, and we got murals here in Arkansas, but that's one of the biggest things I haven't seen a lot of, like in Pine Bluff, that's all the way around. It's just a lot of murals of that, saying, like you're going to see in Chicago somewhere else, you're going to see these type of murals, big as they can get, on these buildings. But we have some down here. And but has a lot of Black artists here that are in that. We have a university down here, and you can go into, their art museum in the university, and you're going to see that right there. You're going to see the African art, Black art. You're going to see all that inside of that museum they have at the university.
Okay, for anybody who's going to be watching, I'm going to have that university name in the description of this video in case anybody who's ever in office want to visit the museum itself, more than welcome. And I want to speak on the poetry. So I'm going to assume Esh Malik, if I'm correct. If I'm wrong, correct me again. Over Femi, right? I have to ask you about your music, bro. Because I've listened to it. I listen to the music regardless, the whole group, but some of the songs you have solos in, they hit. Like, they really hit me inside, and I just really sit there and think, like, where is this music? Like, this is the kind of music that needs to be promoted that's not out here enough, because we're teaching our youngins the wrong music, and none of the music is actually teaching history. It's not motivating. It's not helping us become better self-conscious. And your music seems to give that vibe off. And I want to know, is there any influences that you listened to growing up that made you say, you know what, I have to help push this message out. It helped me, so I need to help everybody else.
Yeah, man, definitely. Just to give a little perspective, man, I'm born in 79, so you know what's the group? The Sugar Hill Gang song went nationwide in 79. So I kind of grew up with hip hop, man. But you know, being here in Arkansas, you know, we got a chance to hear stuff that came from pretty much everywhere. Like, there's the music business and industry ain't really saturated in Arkansas. I mean, there's a lot of people who do music, but just growing up, you know, hearing Big Daddy Kane and LL and, you know, Boogie Down Productions, you know what I'm saying, Black Sheep.
Also KRS-One as well.
Yeah, man. You know, self. I remember the song Self Destruction when that came out, and you know, having those type of influences that were mainstream: X-Clan, Poor Righteous Teachers, the Jungle Brothers, Tribe Called Quest. You know what I'm saying? Paris, like. I mean, we got a chance to experience mainstream artists, and these artists were promoted in the rap magazines. We saw the music videos on BET or the Box, or you know, wherever you were. Like, we got to see that mainstream, as well as the stuff that was just partying and braggadocio and all of that. So we had a mixture of that, and I got a chance to see them take a lot of that knowledge and consciousness out of the mainstream and just leave the people with the gangster, the pimp, the party, and the thug, you know what I'm saying, and all of that. So the youth will only get a one-sided view of what our culture, what our history, what our experience is about. So I felt that it was necessary. And, you know, my brother said it was a major influence on me, deciding to just go full-fledged in this lane with my music. So that's, you know, those things have influenced me as well, man.
That's well, very put together, because you're absolutely correct. The consciousness that was in our music definitely dissipated it. I seem like as the decades went on, more and more artists who's more self-conscious started to get, you know, kind of pushed it aside. It's kind of great that you're pushing it back in that direction. Cause I would love to, again, promote your music to anybody who I know for a fact, you know, likes positivity. And do you ever think you'll start a record company, a music company, regarding of the type of music you want to put out there? Like, back to the consciousness of, you know, what we need to hear again when it comes to the music. Like, do you plan on starting a music company at any time in the future?
Oh man, that's a good question, man.
Yeah, it is.
You know, one of our thoughts has been to help younger people, man, even just understanding how to incorporate this type of stuff in their music. Yeah. You know, so it's more so like, you teaching history, but also teaching the artistry and some of the history of hip hop to have that certain level of respect for it. So it's not just specifically driven by making a dollar. Like, I'm gonna do whatever the dollar say. So if they paying cats to wear dresses, cats gonna wear dresses. If they paying cats to paint the fingernails and, you know, all kind of stuff going on today, if that's what's paying, you know, cats gonna do it. You know, you can say, well, who can blame? Well, you know, everybody got to make a dollar. But I think my role is, as someone who's been, I started writing rhymes in 97. So, I've been recording for 20 years, man, wanting to help younger artists and the next generation of artists to be more responsible with the music they create. You know, I can see some type of work in that lane, man. That's something that we've discussed.
Okay.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's fire. That's fire. I'm glad We need more people like you that think that way. More older people is willing to pass the torch. We don't have too many people that's willing to pass the torch over. And
Oh, yeah.
The fact that, as you stated, the people now are willing to do anything for a dollar because of how hard it is to, it's kind of getting harder and harder to live in the world without the money. But out of sometimes I just feel like the dignity is not worth a dollar. And a lot of people are not being taught that you can gain a lot more than that dollar with knowledge of who you were and what you can still be and things of that nature. So when you get older, you can make more than what you're shooting for by shooting your dignity down just for a few dollars now than where I feel like more knowledge you know about what's going on in the world and what's going on around you is more, it's worth more money than you can ask for to degrade yourself. So I'm kind of that you're on that perspective of it.
And can I add, man, another thing too, man, like, you know, coming up, I didn't just listen to rap. I'm sure none of us just did. You know, I heard Earth, Wind & Fire, Jimi Hendrix. Yeah, my pops was playing Phil Collins in them and stuff like that. You know, I got, you know, it was jazz, a lot of jazz in the household. And, man, I just got through listening the other day to Jazz Montez Volume 1, you know, Guru, and how he mixed that element with hip-hop. And to me, a lot of that is missing in what we call the hip-hop now. That's why we got this kind of baseless, you know, thing that we got. If you don't understand what came before you, and you just think that it just started right here, then that's what you're going with. You know what I'm saying? So you just going off, you know, you create your own genre, you think, but somewhere along the lines, you got to reach back and say, whatever you got going on now, something before it led you to this right now. But if you don't understand that, then you're just going to keep going with what you got, you know? So, yeah. I mean, we got to understand that what we do in hip hop, but those fusions are why we are able to create what is we call hip hop, you know?
Yeah. That leaves a lot of confusion. Okay. The song I want to speak about the most, cause I it's a very long video, but I feel like when people listen to it and you guys should listen to the song, when you get the message sometimes, because I've heard it twice, but I'm going to continue to hear it more just to get even more clarity of the message, but Red, Black, and Green. How did y'all come up with that song to say, you know what, we have to put this together with this video? Because each, I realized the red meant something, the black meant something, the green meant something. And it's like the articulate part of the brain that made you guys say, you know what, we have to do this. We got to put this together to get this message out. Because I love it. I love it.
Well, for one, man, most deaf. It's, you know, Red, Black, and Green is us, you know, off top anyway. You know what I'm saying? It's blood, people, and land. So we definitely said, yo, we got to do something with that. You know, we sat down at the table and went with a certain beat selection that we thought would coincide with each track. But, you know, you wanted each track to all blend with each other, but you know, it's gonna sound different because like I said, we're talking about blood, people, and land. So it was each one of us took a track. Like I took Red, you know, E took Black, and B took Green. And so we all just put our own, you know, saying our own stamps on that as far as, you know, MCs to really push that envelope and just showcase that some of our people may think Red, Black, and Green is a bad thing to represent. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the first and foremost, man. Like, we trying to show you what's the importance of these colors and what they mean and what you think they mean. You know what I'm saying? Because our people not checking to see what they mean. It's just, to them, it's like, oh, something foreign, you know?
Yeah,
so, you know, we definitely had to put that out there.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, yeah.
Yeah, we definitely, on Red, Black, and Green, we already were representative principles in our everyday lives. So, like Brother Sid said, that's a play on words, Sid said, you know, when I first come across the information when I was young, it did have negative connotations towards it. And it was like, you know, that's going against what's going on, you know, and we got it good right now. And we we about to break through the glass ceiling and all that old jive back then.
Yeah.
You know? And so we was taught, not so much taught, but we wanted to present our people things. We saw it in the news. We saw the Black Panther Party. We saw Malcolm X. I'm born in 65, so I saw some of these things, you know. I did see some of these things. But when it came to us doing it, yeah, we did want to try to put it down in a manner where it didn't have those negative connotations that we grew up with and why it took us so long to get to it, you know. So we tried, Red, Black, Green, Say It Did Red, Say It was on red on the blood that has been spilled for this nation. And we see every day how our peoples, our youth, how blood is being spilled unjustified, whether it's Black on Black, police on Black, or whatever, you know, genocide and the Black Holocaust and, you know, the Black diaspora and all that, you know, all the blood has been spent, you know, me Black, taking pride in self, you know, I'm Black and I'm proud, you know, I come from that, you know, so, and then OB, the green was the land. How he's teaching our connection back to the land, and that, you know, if we don't grow, we don't eat. You know, we have to depend on somebody else. What if they leave? Like, we, you know, we had an incident within the last year where a certain side of town has become a food desert because these people decided to just up and leave with no warning and just left everybody in the food desert, you know. But with green, red, black, and green, we're trying to show why it's important, who's important to, and how to do something about it, you know. And I'll leave with that.
Gotcha. With that being said, about we don't grow, we don't eat. When we get back from commercial break, we're going to speak about that. I have to ask you guys about your GSC company movement, whichever one you prefer. We'll be right back after this.
These are the chronicles of a soldier. The world around me is getting colder. America seems to want to make me break. How much pressure can a man's mind take? I'm close to the edge, approaching a code red. I stay in the booth trying to clear my head. These are the chronicles of a soldier. The world around me is getting colder. America seems to want to make me break. How much pressure can a man's mind take? I'm close to the edge, approaching the code red. I stay in the booth trying to clear my head. But it's over. But it's over.
Welcome back to the Black Perspective Podcast. Okay, I want to speak about the GSC program that you guys have, that you guys are the CEO of, to be correct. The Grow Something Challenge. Now, I'm in New York City, and I just happened, I can't remember if I was in Brooklyn or I was in the Bronx, and I walked past this garden, and it said GSC. This is before I knew who you guys were. And now, when you said GSC and said Grow Something Challenge, I literally looked and remembered, I saw a garden of plants in New York City that said GSC on it, Grow Something Challenge. So is that regarding y'all as well? Man, it said Grow Something Challenge, but it said GSC on it.
Hey, I hope we motivate them to do it. You know, I don't know. No, we're in Arkansas, man.
Yeah, that's what threw me for a loop. You guys said GSC, and I saw a garden that said GSC on it. It was locked off, but you see all the plants and everything that was growing
That's a good thing, though.
Like a park. So I'm assuming you guys, your reach must be, you know, pushing this far up. Hey.
I mean, we do look at it like it could be our reach because, you know, once you put something out there in the ethos, you know, other people pick up on it. And so you're connecting across distances that you may not ever travel, you know, physically travel. So, yeah.
Okay.
The Grow Something Challenge was a social media challenge that I started in 2017 on Facebook and Instagram, where I shared just different tips on people growing something for themselves. So I showed people just a plethora of different ways to start off plants, whether using a water bottle, a milk jug, milk crates, pallets, cinder blocks, like you name it. I tried to show people different ways that you could grow something for food or medicine for your for yourself, for your family. So 2017 is also the year that we started GSC Community Garden. So my brother E had the space. We went out, we were doing community cleanups, cleaning up different sides of a town, man. Each weekend we would take our sons out. Some of the community would come out, and we would do community cleanups, and we cleaned a lot up, man. And we broke ground in the fall of 2017. Another brother came on, my brother Freddie Savage. He had another lot, so we added the second lot. Then we had another empty lot beside the one he had, so we added that third lot on. So right now we are operating three residential lots across the city right now. Well, man, we've grown well over 100 different varieties of fruits, vegetables, herbs, and flowers. We've sold produce, we've given some away. Of course, we get some. We teach people how to grow for themselves, how to get started. We have volunteer days, we host events out there. It's a real community affair, man.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love communities. I love community affairs. I feel like we don't have enough of that in our own community, especially within our own. We used to have it, but then again, it's like we're losing it. We're losing it every decade, every generation that comes. I feel like we're losing that community side. And the fact that you guys are still doing that, that's a blessing. That's great. I'm glad to hear that. Do you guys ever one day, so maybe you already have decided to want to maybe write a book about, again, your experiences, what you want to teach to other people, things of that nature, like just to get the youth to start reading again, or people in general, knowledge period, any knowledge that you guys have, would you want to end up wanting to write a book one day?
I know it's my goal, to do a a self autobiography, but also just just do a something I can pass down to the youth. But yeah, I definitely in my future, before I leave this earth, I will publish something, something to pass down to the youth.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All
And
right.
yeah. I thought of it. I haven't thought of like just writing the book, but I've thought about taking all the art I got and putting it in a book and putting that out there. I've thought of that, but
That's new. I never thought about that. That's new. It can actually express everything you see through visual. I've never thought about that.
yeah. I definitely been thinking about that, man.
Well, whenever you fellas start to write a book or anything y'all want to do, just let me know because I'm very interested. Just let me know how much it costs.
No, brother OB has a book. He has
I'm glad I asked. I'm glad I asked. I'm glad I asked.
a book. Hey, you
So
speaking
I just
on home,
wanted to
bro.
grab my book. I don't know if y'all can see that, but this is my children's book. This is a book I wrote. I published this last year in February. It's called Every Day is a Sunday. So it's a story about a young black boy and his family. He's being homeschooled in a culturally and like an African-centered environment. So it follows him through the course of a week to see what type of lessons he goes through, how he interacts with his family, how he interacts with the community, and how they incorporate different African and African-American principles in his life to facilitate his education, his socialization. So Yeah, that's the premise of it, man. That's my first book. I got a couple other that's written, they ain't published yet. So kind of working on my second one now as far as the publishing goes. But this one is on Amazon. The ebook version is out. So
Okay, I'll leave that link in the description of the video for anybody who's interested. I'll leave the link in the description of the video because I will guarantee I'll buy one myself. So you guys should read it. It's for all my African American people, my African
All right.
descendants. We need to read books like this and read these to our children. So I'm glad to know we have books out there that depicts what we need.
Brother said, and I, we're also filmographers. We do music videos, and we have done some short films. That we, it's on YouTube, but it's out there. So I just want to throw that out there too. That we're writers, we're filmographers, we are say it as a photographer as well as a painter.
So, am I are we
And just
expecting
other things that we
a movie
see
soon?
too, besides the gardening.
Man,
We got one out there.
hey, that's hey. Now, we do have one out there. With the Voodoo Queen,
Yes.
what's the other name for it? It's
Storm.
when Storm Caller,
Storm caller.
but I know of the Voodoo Queen, that is out there. But yeah, there's other stuff too. We got been definitely trying to put in the works, man. But I can leave the ads and all that, so you can check out some of these videos we do have.
Yeah, I'm gonna check all that out. I'm gonna have to check all that out and then leave some of that in the description for others to check out as well. To end this segment with MCE, this is your boy Talk Galore, and we'll be right back.
Hitting the road, let's go. I've been working on myself, steady building up my temple. Gains on top of gains, health as well, monumental. Each a living by the code, it's embedded in my mental transformation in the making for myself. I don't resemble. I've been working on myself, steady building up my temple. Gains on top of gains, health as well, monumental. Each a living by the code, it's embedded in my mental transformation in the making for myself. I don't resemble. Shungo.
Yo, 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 welcome back. Welcome back to the Black Perspective Podcast. This is your host, Talk Galore, for the one last segment. We're here with MCE, and I want to get their opinion on these last two topics. I'm pretty sure you guys want to know the same exact thing. So, as a group, as a community, as a people, we can start to do some of these things within ourselves, within our own community. So, I want to ask you guys, I'm going to get each of your opinion on this. How do we get ourselves to at least lean in a direction of gaining some type of respectability for each other as a people to understand that we're killing ourselves, we're fighting ourselves, we're shooting ourselves, while we have many of our counterparts just looking and watching as like they're enjoying the show in some kind of way, knowing from where we once stood as a people compared to where we are now?
That's a great question, man. To me, man, it all starts with consciousness. When you don't know who you are, another person can tell you who you are, and that may be beneficial or detrimental. We have to understand who and what we are. And understanding our history, our plight. If they say if you don't know your history, you're bound to repeat it. You know what I'm saying? So, our people, we have like historical amnesia. It's like we easily have forgotten lessons of the past and trials and tribulations from our ancestors, and we keep repeating some of the same stuff over and over, but yet we don't see some of the pitfalls that we face today, how our ancestors dealt with some of the stuff that we're dealing with today in the proper manner. So I think it's just awareness, man, consciousness. We have to continue to raise the consciousness, the awareness of the people. That's one thing as far as mental. The other thing is we got to exercise some courage, some heart. Like, we got the heart to when you know something, you still gotta do something with it. So just because you might know, hey, you know, we was kings and queens, we built the pyramids, we did this, but what you gonna do today with it? You know what I'm saying? How you gonna live your life in this society that pushes the narrative that helps to uplift yourself, your family, your community, your people? That takes courage. You know what I'm saying? Like, what we do with our music, take courage in it. Everybody's not gonna do this. Everybody is not gonna put themselves out in this form or this fashion to take this lane, man, and be unapologetic about it. That takes a certain amount of courage and strength. You know what I'm saying? We have to find that within ourselves. And whatever we do in our daily lives, to have that strength and to courage to walk in your own truth. You know what I'm saying? We unapologetically who we are. I'm not apologizing. I'm not gonna shrink myself in amongst anybody to be who I am authentically, man. So we got to show up and be our true selves no matter what the situation is. So, that's my take on it.
Wow. Man, I say self-awareness, you know, self-accountability. You know, like, we got a song called Working on Myself, but that's an everyday thing.
Yeah, I love that song. I like that song. Very catchy. I
appreciate it, brother. Yeah, yeah, that's an everyday thing. When you wake up in the morning to the end of the night, you know, saying that's you're working on yourself, you know, and you're growing every single day. I think that comes into effect for all of us, man, somewhere along the lines. But I know it's hard to find that self-awareness and self-accountability in some of the circumstances we all grow in. So, you know, you come up in the ghetto and what you see on a regular basis, you know, the sirens, all this, the glass everywhere, the this, you come to find comfortability in that, and that becomes you. When the truth of the matter is, that's not you. That's your circumstance. You know what I'm saying? So just understanding that, like you said with the music, man, just trying to use that and put that music out there to let you know, like, this is, you are not what it is that you see around you. You are what that is in you that you can search for and find. You know, we are black men stuck inside of a white system that attacks us on a regular basis. And whether they came to your door today and knocked on it and do, they still attacking you. It doesn't matter. It's subliminal, it's physical, it's spiritual, it's everywhere. It's a warfare going on every day that some of us are not getting through. They're getting us through the system, the courts, they're getting us at our jobs, they're getting us at the schools, they're getting us through the music, they're getting us the media. This is where self-awareness has to come in for us to try to battle, man. So it starts with that person right there looking in the mirror first. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have to check ourselves before we can, you know, put whatever it is that we're doing out here, you know.
Yeah, touche, bro, touche. Very well put. Brother E, you want to add anything on to that before I move on?
For me, to get to the youth, I think we're in a place and time where the current youth I'm not saying it's impossible, but they may be unreachable. And so we may have to go to the generation behind them to reach them. But to reach them, I think it starts with education, and not so much the education that they get in the public school systems or educational knowledge of self. Like the other brothers, Obafemi and Sid expounded on already, we are at war, but war starts nowadays in the mind. It's not a physical thing too much anymore. Not on us. It's on everybody else. But on us, it's a mental warfare thing that's been waged against us. Power to control our minds. And one of the easiest ways to control our minds is through our educational system as well as our food system. That they have put in place. So growing our own food and teaching our own children whether that be homeschooling or just getting to some type of agrarian type of education system to reconnect us with the land, with ourselves, with the land is us. I think that that is the way forward for our people. Like I said, this generation, that, and I'm talking about the mostly late 90s babies, late 90s, not all of them, but I see a vast majority of them, some of them my own children, they are just simply just caught up on these things that's not going to serve them any, it's going to serve them at all, except for their destruction. And the things I see them interested in, the things they speak about, the music they speak about, the food, the type of food they want to eat. They want to eat all this stuff that's not even for us. It's for those people who eat it, you know? And you are what you eat. You are what you eat. That's true. You know, it's backed by biology. It's backed by science. You know, whatever you eat, essentially your body assimilates that. And all the aspects of it, not just the physical aspects of it, but it's the spiritual and the soulful aspects of what you eat too. You know, whether it be a plant or animal. So, for me, education, a cultural based education is what we're missing. And even when I say, I'm not talking about inside of like a classroom. We need our classes outdoors so our children can be in the sun and can get some of that energy and some of those codes that's coming from the sun, that's coming from the plants, that's coming from the very air, not air conditioned air or reconditioned air. So I'll leave with that, bro.
Okay, because I think if people don't realize a lot of photosynthesis actually flows through us, and everybody doesn't really know that part of why you need to be outside. So I'm glad y'all put that in perspective. And the education part from audio leads me to my last topic of question I want to ask you guys about. Okay, with the knowledge of, I'll say, you and many other influencers, I mean, you have you guys, you have a couple of African school teachers in some of the largest colleges. I can't remember a couple of them off the top of my head because I follow a few of them. And you have guys like Dr. Umar Johnson, who's also trying to teach the Black community what we're doing wrong, things of that nature. So you guys think eventually we'll be able to start, because our own, maybe it's just a wish list, but our own school system, even if it's small schools, our youth programs, our after-school centers that we used to have, community centers that we used to have, that's been torn down, I'll say it that way, because we're constantly losing more and more community centers every day, basically. And youth programs that can actually be started to teach our correct history and truth compared to the world's agenda and how it contradicts who we are and how we currently behave compared to our counterparts. That we'll be able to start building some of these back or petitions or anything that we can start putting in place, because I'm a small crab in a barrel. But I feel like if many of us can actually, hundreds and maybe thousands of us can actually get together to start rebuilding once what was once a strength for us. Because a lot of the killings, a lot of the murders, a lot of the senseless stuff that happens, because a lot of people don't have nothing to do. A lot of our kids are out here with nothing to do, and the only thing they can do is listen to music and copy what the music is telling them outside. And you know, I feel like in order to go back to where we were, we have to restructure some of the things we lost, like our community centers and our after-school programs, and things like this that can kind of teach them the things that you guys are pushing up there.
I mean, I do know that, you know, I do agree, you know, that there's some things that's missing that our children can do. But I would still say that what they can do is to be involved in some type of agrarian education system as far as teaching them how to grow their own food. It's more to us than sports activities, you know.
Exactly. That's why I wanted to do more sports here.
Yeah. So if we are to have community centers, they still should, I feel like they still should be based on cultural things. And we don't have a centralized curriculum as far as what we want to teach our children. Until we probably get to that state. I believe there are enough schools spread across the nation, independent black schools. We just, you know, we can't get that funding like the public school system because we don't teach that curriculum. We don't endorse that curriculum, so we're not going to get those funds. But if there was some way we could unify on a central theme and a central curriculum, we might be able to get more done.
Yeah, because I was asking, but we have so many rich millionaires, black millionaires. We got rich billionaires. We got a lot of people with a lot of money, but mm-hmm. It seems like nobody's taking the time to say, you know what? Let's put our money together and fund our own stuff like we used to do. Back mm-hmm. where, I'm not going to say we because I wasn't born then, but I know of it. Like, when we had Jim Crow laws, things like that, when things were separated, we were forced to fund and do our own thing to make our own communities, make our own jobs, make our own money, our own banks. We had everything on our own. And it seemed like once everything got integrated, we lost everything. And now we're basically being outsourced control of what we can have, what we can teach, what we can eat, all of these things. And I feel like you said, cultural youth centers and some of the many small but many spread out schools that teach the curriculum that we need to have. If we can get some more people to just put the money together and fund ourselves, we can get real far with this generation at least, or maybe the generation after them, but we can start to turn things around. At least that's how I see it from my point of view.
So there's an organization called the Council of Black Independent Institutions, or CIBI, Council of Independent Black Institutions. So I've been in, you know, communication with several owners of African-centered schools across the country. And one of the things, like you just stated, we got schools, but as we are faced with, we have to develop a system. It has to be a systematic approach to education. So an individual school spread out can only be effective to a certain degree. But when you systematize it, that means all of the schools, no matter where you at, are going to have aspects of similar things that are in it, that we have standards that we have to meet. You understand what I'm saying? So, and that goes into, you know, like you were talking about, like maybe cultural community centers and things like that, rites of passage programs, helping young boys transition into manhood, helping girls transition into womanhood that's gender based. You understand what I'm saying? All of those type of things, what he was speaking about, like the agrarian based type of learning, all of those things have to be brought under a system. You understand what I'm saying? I got a song where I say, what is a system? A set of connected networks. Where you at in your different location is you got networks in there, right? And like you said, I'm only a small crab in a big barrel. I look at it like this, though. You know, I like to say we connecting the dots. See, when you connect those dots, you can see the bigger picture. You understand what I'm saying? So your dot is important. Yeah. Each dot is important to be able to see the bigger picture. When we connect those dots, we can see that bigger picture. You know what I'm saying? But some of us just want to be a dot by themselves. And think my dot is big. I'm going to make my dot bigger than your dot. But you still ain't going to see the picture. You're just another dot. You know what I'm saying? So us connecting the work that we're doing makes it more effective, man. And that bigger picture is the system that we need to create to facilitate all of the various things we have to do. We have to institutionalize the philosophy, the mindset. The music has to be institutionalized. You understand what I'm saying? Yep. The talking points have to be institutionalized. The same way we being brainwashed in school and churches and the music, those are institutions that get to the mind. So we have to do the same thing.
Very put together. Wow. Very put together. Anything else you guys want to add on?
Man, they said it all. Hey, what you said was on point. It has to be. That's what we facing. Institutions. Everything we face is one, man. You know, so you're right. In order for us to build that, what you're asking for, it got to be a lot of us on board. And if some of us can't get on board because of religion, because of what we've been and other stuff, that's going to be a knock, man. It's going to be a road hard to travel. If we can't get on board, we can't get rid of all these other things we gave our allegiance to, basically.
Yeah. I feel like we did just that, yep. All right, thanks again for joining the show. I appreciate it. I needed more people like you guys on the show, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to interview you guys, speak to you guys, get your insight on things, and hopefully soon we can do this again.
Yes, sir.
Everybody here, everybody's going to be watching. This is Tor Galore from the Black Perspective Podcast. We'll be back again. We have more interviews and more insight to come. Until next time, y'all take care of yourselves, each other, your family, your friends, your neighbor, and whoever else you come into contact with. If we take care of each other, we can take care of the world.
Peace.